This week we continue our study of Proverbs 10 through 29 with some proverbs about socializing. Herein we're going to discuss friendship and beneficial relationships with other people. The proverbs emphasize that we should put ourselves around the right people, that we should resolve our conflicts without quarreling, and more. We'll be drawing proverbs from all around the book, and I will cite the verses as I come to them. For that reason, you have no particular reading today, and I recommend that you continue to study Proverbs 10 through 29 on your own. First, let us establish the importance of socializing well. The simple reality is that you can't do everything on your own. Life is challenging, and humans have never been meant to go it alone. Even when Adam, the first man, was living in the ease of the Garden of Eden, God said that it was not good for him to be alone and that he needed a suitable helper. So, for certain, in a fallen world, we all need a little help sometimes. Simply providing for your daily needs, if you were to do it completely alone. Foraging the wilderness. That would be an extreme challenge, the likes of which could kill even many experienced outdoorsmen in a matter of months. We just aren't meant to go it alone. That is why, as we have noted before, Proverbs 22:1 tells us that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. If people like you, they can help you get what you need, and if you can get what you need, then you can build up wealth. But if people don't like you, then you will struggle to accomplish much of anything and will be significantly less likely to end up with riches. We also recently had a message on the importance of family in the Proverbs. We'll have an entire chapter on Proverbs 31 about the ideal wife. Well, at the bare minimum, if a man wants to have a family, he's going to have to get along with at least one woman well enough to mate, and to do that, he'll probably also need to get along with her father well enough to convince him to give her in marriage. And to do that, he'll probably have to get along with society well enough to have some measure of success. So if you want to live your best life and a wise life, you need to have a good reputation, and you need to be able to get along with other people. You need friends. It is critically important that you choose the right friends. If you have the right friends, you'll have a mutually beneficial relationship. You'll build them up, and they'll build you up. But if you pick the wrong friends, they'll drag you down, and you'll drag them down. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." And that makes sense. Wise people say wise things. You will learn from them. Wise people do wise things. If you're doing things with them, you'll be practicing a life of wisdom. Wise people will live righteously, meaning they will be less likely to do harm to you. They will prosper you, and you will become wise. But if you hang around with fools, then they'll do wicked and foolish things that are harmful, and you'll be standing in the wrong place at the wrong time. You'll hear them saying foolish things, and you'll learn their foolish ways. You'll end up foolish and harmed. So don't hang around with fools. In fact, the Proverbs tell us that it is better for us to avoid foolish people altogether. Proverbs 14:7 says, "Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge." And we can see why you should leave them. Being around them is of no benefit and only harm. When you need them, fools won't help you. Proverbs 25:19 says, "Trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips." You need your tooth to eat. But if you go to eat and your tooth is bad, you'll be in pain. Likewise with walking. You need your foot to get where you're going. If your foot fails you in your time of need, you will fall and be injured. The same is true of a bad friend. If you trust your friend to help you, and you walk into a bad situation where you need him, then if he isn't there for you, you're going to have a problem. You're better off to stay away from a person like that. And it isn't just that a foolish friend will hurt you by his negligence. A foolish friend will probably actively do things to hurt you. Proverbs 17:12 says, "Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly." To be clear, a she-bear robbed of her cubs will literally rip you to pieces. Hanging around a fool is arguably worse than that. A fool may not rip you apart, but he will put you through endless misery such that you wish that he would. Unfortunately, it can be hard to find the right friends. We live in a fallen world and in foolish times. Wise men are hard to find. However, it would be better for you to have no friends, or few friends, than many foolish friends. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Of note, the King James Version of the first half of this verse reads, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." But I'm not sure how they came up with that translation. The root of the word translated "must show himself friendly" is ra'e, which describes evil or harm dozens of other times in the scriptures. The word means exactly the opposite of being friendly, so it is much better to translate this as "a man of many companions may come to ruin." Now, all this talk about staying away from fools might lead us to believe that we should just be aloof and should avoid everyone, but we have to have some moderation to that. We cannot think only about our own self-interests. We can't rightly choose to have only those friends who do good for us. We ourselves would be pretty poor friends in that case. In fact, the Proverbs tell us to help even our enemies. Proverbs 25:21-22 says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." I must say, this one is difficult for me. I can understand the concept of helping your enemy, of trying to make peace, and of wanting to serve the general best interest of everyone. But there is some difficulty for me in that it seems that an enemy is a person who is doing something wrong, and helping that person, it seems, could be helping that person in wrongdoing. Obviously, we would have to draw some kind of balance there. But I also find the idea of heaping burning coals on his head to be confusing. It seems to me that the intent of helping the enemy should be doing that which is generally good, not just some roundabout way of making him suffer. To me, it seems rather disingenuous to help someone with the intent of harming him. At the same time, it seems that if the actual intent is to make the person suffer, then maybe it would be just as good to actually make the person suffer. But set my confusion with the intent aside, we should, at the very least, not allow our enemies to starve or thirst. That said, we should be careful in knowing that helping our enemies is not the same as honoring them. We should not honor those with foolish behavior. Proverbs 26:1 says, "Like snow in summer or rain and harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool." Honoring a fool is not only unbefitting, it is potentially harmful, or at least not helpful to the one who does it. Proverbs 26:8 says, "Like one who binds the stone in the sling is one who gives honor to a fool." Of course, in trying to make friends, we must also ask ourselves, what is a friend? Is your friend just anyone you know? Maybe anyone with whom you get along? Do you suppose you will still get along well with that person when you face the storms of life, or is he only a friend so long as the weather is fair? We noted before in our study of wealth that having plenty of wealth will help make you friends, but when you are poor, they will desert you. See Proverbs 19:4 and 19:7 for that. I suppose such people as those might be counted as friends. They're with you for the money, but at least they are there with you. And they'll help you as long as there is something in it for them. But they aren't really much good friends if they aren't willing to stick it out in times of trouble. After all, times of trouble is what friends are supposed to be for. We have mentioned previously Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." If your friend only loves you when the going is easy and he won't stick with you to help you when times are tough, he really isn't much of a friend. Unfortunately, friends who will stick with you in hardship are hard to find. Proverbs 26 says, "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find?" The answer to that rhetorical question is suggested to be no one. People are sinners. Expecting them to be selflessly devoted to the interests of their friends in times of trouble is, unfortunately, usually too much to ask. As I've said before, the best way to have friends is to not need them for anything. But then, in that case, why have them? If you want to get along with your friend, you need to manage your expectations, though. If you lean on your neighbor too much, he's going to get sick of you, so don't do that. Proverbs 25:17 says, "Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you." At the same time, you shouldn't shame your friend by ignoring him or denigrate him by overlooking his potential to help in a time of need. Proverbs 27:10 says, "Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away." So you should interact with your friends, and in your time of need, you should lean on your friends. But just don't overdo it. How do you balance that? What does it mean to overdo it? Well, I suppose that knowing how to strike that balance is part of being wise. And no matter how good your relationship is with your friends and how much you might lean on them, there is a limit to what they can do for you. In the end, no one really knows your heart and your joy and your struggles but
Proverbs
you. Proverbs 14:10 says, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy." If you are going to have friends, then you will have to have some way to resolve conflicts with those friends without quarreling. Once you start a quarrel with someone, you're going to have a hard time resolving it. Proverbs 18:19 says, "A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle." People have their pride. They don't like to admit that they are wrong, and they don't like to feel disrespected. It is best, in the case of a conflict, for parties to calmly and openly discuss the issues involved and to work together towards solving the problem that they, as friends, are facing together, rather than fighting against each other. Proverbs 23 tells us, "It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling." Note, however, that avoiding strife by peaceably resolving conflict is not the same as ignoring a problem until it boils. When there is a problem and no one is working to solve it, that problem just gets worse. Ignoring relational problems doesn't make them go away. If you've got a fire in the kitchen, you shouldn't just wait and hope that it will put itself out. Odds are good that fire is going to spread and burn down the whole house. Your real friends then don't ignore your faults. If your friend has a fault, he is living in some error that will harm him. You are no kind of friend if you just ignore that and allow him to harm himself. You also aren't a friend if you allow that trouble to fester until it destroys your relationship. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." One of the ways that your friend helps you is by telling you when you are wrong. In fact, if you never have conflict in a relationship, that relationship is probably your least healthy one. All people sin. All people hurt each other. A relationship where those hurts are never discussed is one in which someone is continually suffering quietly with no resolution. Odds are good that won't hold up forever. And if the parties in the relationship know that the relationship is too weak to discuss its problems without falling apart, such that they feel the need to never discuss them, then it is a truly weak relationship indeed. Proverbs 27:5 through 6 says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." If we are going to have meaningful relationships, we must have the maturity to accept criticism, and also the ability to give it in such a way that it will be well received. That means, as we have discussed elsewhere, having a healthy dose of humility. We have to be able to listen to other people. Proverbs 22:10 says, "Drive out a scoffer and strife will go out, and quarreling and abuse will cease." If you want to have a good group of friends, having a person in that group who will not submit to wisdom will make that difficult. And if you won't listen to wisdom, then you shouldn't expect social interactions to go well for you either. One thing that exacerbates conflicts is having a quick temper. God is sometimes described as being angry. See, for example, Exodus 4:14, which says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. So anger itself cannot be wrong, but to be angry without a just cause, to become angry quickly, leaping to rash judgments, and to allow that anger to overwhelm you so that you make bad decisions is foolish. Proverbs 14:17 says, "A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." So if you can't get a handle on your temper, people are going to hate you. If you want to have good relationships, you need to be able to keep a cool head. You need to be able to confront problems rationally as one leading a team, not as a person who is angrily fighting with others. You also need to be forgiving of others when they fail to live up to the standard and when they are penitent for having failed. If you aren't, then you aren't going to have a relationship with anyone who falls short, which means you won't have a relationship with anyone at all. Proverbs 21:10 says, "The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no mercy in his eyes." When we consider interpersonal conflicts and how to resolve them, we do well to remember Proverbs 16:7. That one says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." That suggests either one of two things. The first could be that if you please God, that could help you to have peace with your enemies. Or the second could be that it is pleasing to God for you to try and be at peace with your enemies. But in either case, it is good for us to work toward obedience to God and peace with our enemies. Often the best way to resolve a conflict is to have a third party act as an intermediary who can help the two sides see eye to eye, or who can judge which is in the right or the wrong. However, when no such intermediary is available, or when the dispute is too difficult for him to settle, we might come up with more creative ways to solve things. Proverbs 18:18 says, "The lot puts an end to quarrels and decides between powerful contenders." So maybe when something can't be resolved, both sides can just agree to a coin flip or a dice roll. As long as both sides stick with their agreement to accept the outcome, that can be effective. That said, having a good mediator to resolve the dispute is probably better. Knowing that, we should not let Proverbs 26:17 confuse us. It reads, "Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears." Obviously, if a dog goes walking by and you grab it by the ears, then you are going to be setting yourself up for trouble. This could suggest to us that mediating a conflict is only a recipe for troubling ourselves, but we shouldn't look at it that way. The trouble with this proverb is not that a person mediates a conflict, but that he meddles in it, sticking his nose in where it doesn't belong when the quarreling parties don't want him there. That's like grabbing a dog that is just walking by minding its own business. It would be another thing entirely to step in to stop a dog from attacking someone who is crying out for help, or to defend oneself against a dog that is attacking. So this verse does not suggest that we should avoid conflicts or refuse to help resolve them. It suggests rather that we should not go around presumptuously inserting ourselves into the conflicts of others. And finally, in social situations, don't think too highly of yourself. Proverbs 25:6-7 warns us not to humiliate ourselves by putting ourselves higher than we belong. Proverbs 25:6-7a tells us, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." To conclude then, humans need other humans. We are not meant to be alone. But it is important to find not just any friends, but the right friends. Put yourself around wise people, and you will be wise. It can be hard to find a friend who will faithfully stick with you in times of adversity, but that is what friends are for. You should be that kind of friend, and you should seek out those kinds of friends. But you should not try to overburden them. If you want to have friends, you should avoid quarreling. You should resolve conflicts by dealing with them directly and honestly, working with your friend to solve the problem instead of attacking each other. You should control your anger. You should forgive the apologetic. And when conflicts are difficult to resolve, you should seek out those who can help you resolve them. Finding the right friends and keeping them can be difficult, but if you can do so, you will demonstrate yourself to be wise and will reap the benefits of wisdom.
For those of you who are listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.